Joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Kill. It's been a very, very busy week for sports, college sports in particular, with all of the big decisions being made at the conference level and now at the NCAA level. Certainly pro sports are having to make similar decisions too, although much of the spotlight has been on college in the last couple of weeks. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I'll tell you, it is certainly something that mirrors the corona in the sense that there's a lot of unknowns. Two major things. As of right now, we have 54 of the 130 football bowl teams that aren't going to play. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten announced, the Pac-12 announced, and then we've got the Mid-American Conference and the Mountain West Conference, which have 12 teams apiece. They've canceled their fall sports season. So that means it's like the domino effect. And then the other big news is that the government, our senators, are getting involved with the College Athletes Bill of Rights. So Senator Cory Booker said that he would step up and he revealed a framework that would help athletes finally get a share of revenues that they produce. They want some enforceable health and safety and wellness standards and other benefits. So there's a lot going on in the world of sports.
And we got to talk about this too, because I'm completely lost track of any sense of time. So I don't remember if it was earlier this week or if it was last week, the We Want to Play movement on social media that Trevor Lawrence was leading, that so many college football players, including several at UNC, got behind. All of the press attention and all of the discussion about that movement focused on their first point, which is we would like to go forward with the fall college football season as it's currently scheduled. That was point number one. After that, they had all of these other equally important points, and some of them were really calling for long-term structural reforms, and those are some of the things that the Bill of Rights are speaking a little bit more directly to, and not just that first point that grabbed all the headlines.
So I go back to who's the adult in the room? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about their ages, because certainly most of them are over the age of 18 and they are adults. But it gets to a point where you have to have the adult step in and say, you don't know what you don't know. I'm reminded of when I was younger and Thanksgiving dinner. I would just eat and eat and eat. And then I would get on the sofa and just, talk to mom, my stomach hurts. Mm-hmm. And, and she's, of course, she would try to, say, well, you, in a gentle way. She was a very, very gentle soul, that you've got eyes bigger than your stomach. You should have taken more time in between seconds and thirds and fourths. And so there's sometimes we have to be able to say to young people that best intentions. And in fact, I would be disappointed if I didn't hear athletes saying they didn't want to play. Of course you want to play. Mm-hmm. But when we have a pandemic, a coronavirus that we don't know what the long term, not the short term, what the long term outcome is going to be, why would you risk young people, let alone ourselves? There are reports out from physicians, from experts that are saying that it's more than just getting the flu, right? We know that. And generally, young people can fight off diseases and viruses and things better than a 75-year-old, elderly person. But what they're also saying is that there's some long-term damage to our lungs, to our cardiovascular system. Why would we risk that? It's like the whole concussion thing. We know now that long-term effects of constantly having your brain bang, that it's going to affect you. So what do? We put in safety protocols. We change the rules. But yet we don't want to seem to do this with this virus. It just makes no sense to me.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and that raises kind of a really important, I think, general question. And it is something that we've talked about in the past, pre-coronavirus, because this is a long-term kind of permanent issue with athletics in general and college athletics in particular. But it's worth re-asking in this context, is there, without getting into the specifics of COVID-19 or concussions or any of the specific risks that we can talk about, is there a good general rule for how much risk is too much risk to go forward with college athletics in this case? Like, is there a good sort of benchmark threshold that we can, or a standard that's kind of general that we can look to whenever we have a situation like this?
Well, as it's been stated, where you stand depends on where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a mother, if you're a father of a young person, one case, one death is more than enough. And then we have the extreme end, those who are focused on economics and the money that's coming in, and who will not be able to sustain themselves, as in we might have to cut sports and things like that. And then there is some magic number out there, but nobody's talking about it. In fact, if we just separate from athletics, you know, these were questions that were asked early on right here at UNC, and I'm sure at other universities across the country. When do we say enough is enough?
Mm-hmm.
Does it take 10 cases? Does it take 50? Does it take 100? Does it take one death? Does it take 10 deaths based on the general population? No one is expressing that answer. And so, again, that lends itself to more fear, more gossiping, more concerns about what are we doing. You know, I'm very happy that, and I'll say this, and more intelligent minds prevailed with the Big Ten, with the Pac-12. You know, in the Deep South, where we don't have a history of big urban centers with big-time football. And so the history of college football is that in the Deep South, you have a lot of smaller towns that have become wonderful college towns that they eat, sleep, and drink football. And so here it is playing out. Again, in fact, it reminds me of my work with race and racism around the power of the Southern Bloc and local control, because it seems like the ACC and dear friends all the way to the top of the league of mine, dear friends, and the SEC are just continuing to think there must be a way that we can do this. There must be a way.
With that in mind, I was curious to get your sense of this, because I was a little bit surprised in the last week to see different Power Five conferences coming down on different sides of this. I would have thought that the Power Five conferences would have ultimately and pretty quickly been a block. Maybe it's one goes first and then the other dominoes fall, or one decides we're going to play and then the others have to kind of follow through. But the fact that they two conferences are over here and three are over here and everyone seems to be pretty locked into that, at least for right now, that surprises me. But does it surprise you?
Well, there's a theory, and I can't remember it, probably because I've been speaking all day and facilitating, but there's a theory about this. When you have this type of tension and crisis,
mm-hmm.
self-interest emerge. And this is about self-interest. You know, when it's an opportunity to make money, you want to partner, you want to collaborate. And then when it's time to preserve money and do it your way, I'm bigger, I'm better, I can figure this out, then people will go into their closet, go into their cave and say, you know, there's nobody who gets this like us. And so I'm not surprised. And then when you look at the history of the NCAA and how after year, your bigger schools, the schools who generate more revenue, in particular with sports, they've always wanted their own deal. They've always wanted to look out for themselves, masking it around lots of language and guidelines and legislation. And just more recently, in the past decade, there were thoughts that the Power Five schools were going to go off and create their own governing body anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we still might see that happen, because the COVID-19 really, really exposes the differences. You know, why should a JMU be able to tell a Carolina what to do in terms of not what to do, but to have the same voting power as a Carolina, considering that, you know, just the differences in how the programs are organized, financed, and how revenues are distributed. But, you know, that all for one team unity, that only goes so far. When it comes to crisis mode, self-interest prevails.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, and as we wrap up this conversation, obviously nothing is easy or possible to predict with this, but what do you think is going to happen in the next couple of months? Are we going to, like, I think it's slightly more likely now that we'll have a full 10, 11 game college football season than maybe it was a week ago, but we're still somewhere in that spectrum of likelihood, and I don't know where we are. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, my questioning has moved to, when will it end?
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine, unless we're seeing, you know, the cases really evolve with the students on campus, and then, of course, which means the football teams and the different schools that are attempting to do fall sports and their athletes start having cases, that I think that eventually the season will have to stop. And again, I'm particularly talking about football because of the nature of the closeness, not with just the competition, but the practices. How can you prepare well when you really can't hit and you can't breathe on one another? And then, of course, thinking about if you're not able to practice at full speed and to the extent of a game situation, then it lends itself to more injuries because the body is just not prepared for that much more intense level of a game. You know, this is not professional sports. And so you have the young people that really need to train and develop their bodies. And then to just go into game situation and you really aren't prepared. So I'm concerned about the cases. I'm concerned about injuries and overall just concerned about the overall safety of not only athletes, but I always like to lift up the staff, those people who are risking quite a bit to clean the locker rooms, clean the facilities, and to make sure that everything is prepared for the young men and women.
Listen to If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill Weekends. Dr. Debbie Stroman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.